our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program, of course, every Sunday. If this is your first time listening, we've been on for 32 years here. Well over 500 programs, sir.
12 years almost, courting every week, Steve.
And this is a great time of year. The Porch Fest is coming up, the first annual Highlands Cashiers Film Festival. Great weather.
And I'll just tell all of our citizens and my friends, don't tell me you didn't have anything to do on this weekend with Porch Fest and that film festival. There are a lot of things that folks can do in Highlands in the fall. And also, there's so many volunteer opportunities, which is so important to the enhancement of the entire community.
We're recording this on Thursday, and the papers, the tourism maybe dropped down a little bit for the summer, but the fall looking good.
We're optimistic that we'll have a good fall. The tourist, the way I was reading the articles, it was flat in Western Carolina. And I guess after the trauma of Helene, in a way is good news that it was just kind of flat and holding its own. And as people rebuild and reopen, hopefully those numbers will go up.
I was reading your article in the Highlander and also in the Highlands newspaper about AI, nuclear power.
That came from a meeting I had with some elected officials in the region. It is a big issue that's upon us. And, you know, that's the thing about all of these issues, Steve. I'm running for re-election for another 4 years. I'm thinking a lot of the things that decisions will have to be made about entering a new electrical wholesale contract and so forth, those aren't in the distant future. They're immediate. We'll have to address those. So that's what I wanted to make people aware of, that the need for power in this country, electric energy, is just expanding unbelievably. And I'm not talking about in the next decade or so, I mean, in the next few years. I wanted to say one thing about my article. I put in the article, and somebody pointed out, I referred to Santee Cooper. I know that Santee Cooper, or Santee is spelled S-A-N-T-E-E. I have an editor. I go through a Microsoft editing. We're exchanging versions, and sometimes there's that autocorrect, and sometimes things fall through, and that was one of those points where I realized in the paper it was misspelled as S-A-N-T-I. Then the hustle and bustle of revision and editing, that happens. And by the way, I do have that ChatGP artificial intelligence thing, but I want to assure my readers and my constituents, I do not use that. And yes, I do have someone that edits what I write. That's part of the process. It starts at the first of the week or on the weekends.
We got to get some spell check for AI too.
Yeah.
The new verifying system for voting, we have to get all of our information together, dot our I's and cross our T's.
That's right. And that was in the newspaper about that system. It was a big controversy in the Supreme Court race with Allison Riggs and the challenger. There were about so many 100,000 voters in North Carolina, I'm not sure how many, where they didn't have their driver's license number or the last four digits of their Social Security numbers on their voting records. And by law, that's supposed to be done. But a lot of these folks have been voting for decades, and that information fell through the cracks. They're going through across the state, and it'll be here in Macon County too, to make sure that everybody provides that information. That article indicated that if they didn't have that information, they were sending out letters. And here's my plug for going out and voting. And I know I'm a candidate unopposed and everybody's unopposed. But if you go and vote in the upcoming election in November, if there is a problem with that information, that will be or should be revealed to you at that point where that voting record can be updated. I want everybody to go out and vote in the municipal election because traditionally those elections have very low turnout. I know everybody wants to make sure that their voting record is current as we go into not only the municipal elections, but next year we'll have the midterm elections.
We are going into a dry period after coming out of a wet period. We're having heavy rains and everything else. And now it's pretty dry. I think we need some rain.
It's like our cycle's just up and down. 3 weeks ago, I'd have told you, Steve, we've got so much rain, we're about to be washed away. All of a sudden, the spigot has been turned off by the good Lord, and now we're worried that we're about to go dry. We keep track of that. We don't make those final decisions. We rely on the state, especially the North Carolina Forest Service, U.S. Forest Service, to monitor conditions of fire danger, and also our county fire marshal and emergency management folks. They too monitor that, and we rely on them for guidance about how to respond to a potential drought. We're not there yet. I just want to let everyone know we're aware that there's a potential for that as we enter that fall brush fire season that usually occurs around the middle of October when the leaves fall.
Another busy week. We have a workshop session at 6 p.m. on Thursday. Of course, we'll talk about the board meeting at 7 o'clock also, but you're going to talk about and want some feedback on sidewalk safety, et cetera.
We will be having a workshop session. We've been getting a lot of reports about solicitation of people on sidewalks in downtown. Seem to be on the increase, and people are concerned about that. We have an ordinance in place, but maybe it's now time to revisit that ordinance, see how it can be improved. And we will be having a workshop to discuss this issue. Basically, from my perspective, what people are concerned about, they want to be able to walk down the sidewalks, window shop, communicate with their friends, and walk down there without anyone hollering at them about buying a product or trying to give them a product on the sidewalk to entice them to come into a store. People don't like that. They want the town board to review what is the current situation and make adjustments to where that type of solicitation does not take place.
Of course, the workshop at 6 p.m. and then the board meeting. And yes, Brian Steeler is acknowledging his service.
A couple of things that I want to recognize him for. First of all, we're having the annual Town of Highlands Golf Tournament for the School Scholarship Fund. I'm not going to say please go sign up. It's a full complement of teams that will be playing at the Highlands Country Club Golf Course and then enjoying a great dinner in the evening after that. But if you still want to contribute to the Highlands Scholarship Fund, you can always call Town Hall at 828-526-2118, ask about making a contribution, and our staff will certainly help you do that.
Yeah, of course, that golf tournament Monday, tomorrow, we're airing this, of course, as every Sunday on September 15th. Have a great time out there.
Yeah, and then the other thing that Brian has done, he took the leadership role in raising the money to build the children's playground. It's approaching, I think, $1.5 million. They're on the verge of starting that project very soon. It'll take about 6 months to build the new playground. So we want to also acknowledge his work in that area, and he will also provide the board with an update about exactly where that project is.
Okay, Thursday, the board meeting at 7 o'clock. This is the first time I've heard of it, putting up curb barriers at the First Presbyterian Church.
The small sidewalk next to the wall of the outside wall of the Presbyterian Church, we've had this summer a couple of cars go through the sidewalk and crash into that wall, and it's right near where their organ is located. We've been asked to look at the situation. Our town engineer, Lamar Nix, has come up with a plan which installs some curb barriers and bollards at that area to protect the building. The reason it's coming before the board will have to appropriate the money to install all of these barriers. But that's something that is needed. Not only would it protect the wall, but it would protect any pedestrians who might be walking in that area.
What to do with the playhouse? You're going to be entertaining playhouse demolition bids. So here we go.
We have a bid, and we will review that bid, and I anticipate that we'll move forward with that unpleasant situation where we have to demolish the playhouse. We've been coordinating with the folks of the Mountain Theater and the Playhouse about if they would like to retain anything before that demolition occurs. We'll work with them to make sure that is done. I anticipate that moving forward at this next meeting. Commissioner Dotson asked 2 meetings ago that we delay any final action and give the public a chance to weigh in. We've honored that 60-day period. The problem is that the way things have changed in the downtown area, there's no parking for the playhouse for especially events that would occur in the morning or afternoon. And here's the situation. In the public parking by Town Hall, most of that now is occupied by Hotwire, the Town of Highlands, in the Highlands Police Department with our cars and vehicles. In front of the police department, there is some parking for people that need to go to the police department and some patrol parking. Then the rest of that parking during the day is used by visitors and merchants who are parking there and working and going to the business area. So when you look at the available parking for the playhouse, there is none, really. It was always a challenge, but as we've developed in that area of the town, the options for parking have greatly diminished. So what to do with the property after the demolition is something that we will put to the residents. I would like to see the planning board look at what could be done with that land. That's something that we will do after the new year, probably. And then we will be getting a comprehensive survey by Sprinkle Surveying, where they will survey the entire block where the town owns that whole piece of land. We haven't had a detailed survey done of the entire property. That will be helpful as we develop the property for the playhouse and other areas.
Of course, with the new ABC store that came in, they finished all that. And the local EMS, do we need more employees for the EMS?
Steve, might be a good question that we need to be in conversation with the county about. I'm wondering if there's a need for a new EMS facility to be located there or somewhere else. Right now, the way that system works, we always have a full-time EMS crew on duty in Highlands. So if there's an emergency call, they immediately respond. With that said, especially during the summer where there's a lot of activity, once they respond to a major event where they're having to rush someone to the hospital or maybe transport them to some other facility, the county EMS folks have to start mobilizing another unit to start coming toward Highlands so they can respond if there's a second emergency situation. That kind of lends a question. Is it time to start considering having an expanded crew and response in the Highlands area? That's something that I think that will be reviewed in the coming months. I'd like to see us work with the county about how we can enhance the building or new building for EMS and emergency management.
And once again, just a friendly reminder that after our board meeting, you've got your community coffee at Hudson Library and going over what was covered on that Thursday.
And the format for these coffees this year has been, I base most of my remarks and presentation on what happened at the board meeting. And then I love to take questions and have a dialogue with the folks in attendance.